Looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you? You will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Proactive about improving your health can seem like a big job. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I'd like to share my health secrets to better health. The first step is to remove metabolic blockages caused by toxins. Next is to infuse organic whole food nutrients to help repair and replenish organ function. You'll be amazed at how simple and effective this is when using my professional strength, herbal organ cleanses, and body foundation food mix. To order or for a free product catalog, call Apothecary Herbs now, 866-229-3663, online, thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order my organ cleanses and body food mix and be empowered, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. 20 Wilson, hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk Live. Oh, thanks for joining us on the American Survival Radio Network. That's what it is, Frank. I know he's not a happy camper when I just do that. Well, we are going to be talking about for the first part of the show heartburn drugs. What's up with them? And do they create a super-duper infection? Ooh, do tell. Well, I will. Through this hour, you know I'm gonna. Also, if we get time, we're going to be talking about maybe some anti-aging stuff. And, of course, we have the Quack Report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting them up in prayer, as well as all of America. I'm praying for God's hand to be on us, because, boy, do we need his supernatural help. And I did bring my devotional today. And according to today's devotional from Psalms 116, Genesis 3, and 1 John 1, it says, "Bring me the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Take nothing for granted, not even the rising of the sun." Before Satan tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, thankfulness was as natural as breathing. Satan's temptation involved pointing Eve to the one thing that was forbidden her. The garden was filled with luscious, desirable fruits, but Eve focused on the one fruit she couldn't have, rather than being thankful for all the many good things freely available. This negative focus darkened her mind, and she was succumbed to temptation. So when you focus on what you don't have, or on what situations that displease you, your mind also becomes darkened. You take for granted life, salvation, sunshine, flowers, and the countless other gifts from me. You look for what is wrong and refuse to enjoy life until it is fixed. So when you approach me with thanksgiving, the light of my presence pours into you, transforming you through and through. So walk in the light with me by practicing the discipline of thanksgiving. Amen to that. That's right. God will hear those that are thankful. Seek his face. So mind the time. If you haven't found salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, you better get to getting, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Ready. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quack report, apparently, you know, the drug companies haven't been making or looking for things to make their antibiotics with, but now they're turning towards the Komodo dragon. You know, that big lizard thing? The thing is huge. It's like the size of a dog. But anyway, they went to this reptile because they say it's a walking pharmacy. So they have antimicrobial proteins in the blood of these Komodo dragons. They say it's going to help scientists develop a treatment for deadly infections, you know, the ones that are resistant to all the current antibiotics. So their study on this is, it's published in the Journal of Protomone Research. So the Komodo dragon blood plasma contains all these antimicrobial peptides. So the saliva of the Komodo dragon contains, they say, 57 species of bacteria, which makes sense because the dragon stuns its prey with all that bacteria in its saliva. So they're going to use that approach. It's called bioprospecting. Yep. Now, immune system strength and resistance is earned. Remember that. So strengthen your immune system to organically combat bacterial infections with your immune-boosting herbs. It works with the immune system, not suppresses it. All right, last but not least in the quack report, thought I'd just go over some of the really crazy ingredients that are in your vaccines. People don't tend to focus on what's in there and why is it in there. So there's a couple of ingredients that are in today's vaccines that really don't serve any purpose for being in there, except for maybe making you sick. So why do they have infected African green monkey kidney vero cells inside the vaccines? Merck and Company puts it in there, GlaxoSmithKline. It's in the rotavirus vaccine, and it's in the polio vaccine. Mm-hmm. It's also in the DPT and the DPTP shots. It's in the hepatitis B. It's in the smallpox vaccine as well as the Japanese encephalitis vaccine. Well, and they also have what they call a pig porcine serovirus types 1 and 2 cells, which can be very deadly to some folks. They have it in the rotavirus vaccine, also known as the Rotatec vaccine. It's supposed to prevent dehydrating diarrhea. It's often given to infants and toddlers. However, infants require a lot of times hospitalization after they get this vaccine and also may include surgery on their intestines. Think about that. The other ingredient is aborted, of course, human diploid fetal cells. They get that from aborted fetal tissue. And they put it in the hepatitis vaccine, the AIDS vaccines, and just about everything that is in an immune system issue, they put it in there, in all your childhood flu vaccines. And they also have, get this, E. coli now in your U.S. Vaccines. They put E. coli in there on purpose. They have it in the meningitis vaccine. Of course, you know, you hear a lot of times that it promotes, you know, a better immune system response, blah, blah, blah. And then lastly is the armyworm ovary cells are in your vaccines. Now, why in the world? Well, they say they use these ovary cells from this worm now to incubate their pathogens on it. And these armyworm cells are in the pupal stage. They said it's in your flu virus vaccines, and it says it helps shape the protein of the flu virus into a shape-shifting protein. Get inside your cells easier. That's what it means. Ha! Ha! Didn't know that, did you? Well, be educated out there. Keep studying. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Yes, American Voice Radio is the place to be. But it's really a survival network, too, Frank. Maybe you want to add a tagline. Just kidding. All right. We're going to talk about heartburn drugs. I got a question the other day about cholesterol, so I did a thing on cholesterol, and I got a question the other day about heartburn. So here we are. We're going to check out the heartburn meds. We've talked about heartburn before, digestive problems, but we're going to get more specific about the treatments for heartburn that you find at your scientific medical facilities and what it does and what it doesn't do and what you may want to think about before you actually go that down that road. All right, so too many Americans are suffering with the heartburn and all these other digestive complaints, but it's estimated we have 15 million Americans that suffer from heartburn alone, and they are often prescribed heartburn drugs such as the proton pump inhibitors, also known as PPIs, and they're sold in various names, Nexium, Prozac, Prevacid, and so forth. So the FDA is estimating that 1 in 4 Americans are using PPI drugs, and physicians also prescribe them for ulcers. Now, research now indicates that the heartburn medications are putting patients at a risk of other diseases. So some physicians are recognizing that nourishing the body with better diet is the way to correct a digestive disorder. So let's take a look and see how we can protect ourselves and what these PPI drugs or proton pump inhibitors can put you at risk of. All right, so the heartburn medications prescribed today come with some serious side effects. So the proton pump inhibitor drugs drain the human system of magnesium, causing muscle weakness and cramping. So when the minerals are dumped from your system, it can prohibit the absorption of other nutrients, and it could cause malnutrition and bone weakness. Now, another risk factor while you're taking these heartburn drugs is it increases the risk of contracting some serious bacterial infections, such as food poisoning, like salmonella. It puts you at risks of that. Also, the Clostridium bacteria that causes a lot of colitis puts you at risks of that. And also pneumonia was on the list. So in this 2016 study, it appeared in the journal of Gut and Liver, it reported that patients that are taking the PPI drugs were 6.7% more likely to develop colitis. They also reported that the drugs reduce the stomach acids and allow for oral bacteria from the mouth to multiply. So in January 2016, a Scottish study published in also, the British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology stated that the popular proton pump inhibitor drugs cause colitis and intestinal infections. So patients also complain of withdrawal symptoms when, you know, they try to stop taking the drug. Often patients find that when they do stop the drugs, they have digestive symptoms worse than before they started. So let's look at one quote from a lady that was taking the PPIs, Marcia Lafayette of Portland, Oregon. She says, I can't seem to get off the drug because when I do, I experience severe stomach pain and I can't eat anything. It feels like I have a knife in my gut and it's really painful. End of quote. So Dr. John Clark, gastroenterologist at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, says this, the teaching for many years was these drugs were quite safe, but there is data that's emerging to suggest PPIs may not be as safe as we think they are. End of quote. And then, of course, Professor Thomas McDonald of the British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology says, although acid suppression therapy is often considered relatively free from side effects, the findings suggest that there are significant adverse gastrointestinal consequences of their use causing considerable illness. End of quote. Wow. Well, the truth is coming out. And in February 2015, the German Center for Neurodigestive Diseases in Bonn published their findings in the Journal of Neurology that the heartburn drugs increase a patient's risk by 44% of developing dementia. Whoa. So although the report did not come out and directly accuse the drug companies of causing dementia, they stated there was an association and more research was warranted. So animal research studies showed that when the rats were given proton pump inhibitor drugs, it increased this protein level in the brain known as a beta amyloid. Now, this protein is said to cause dementia in humans. So similar reports by the University of Pittsburgh appeared in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And according to Dr. John Clark, he says patients should not use the heartburn drugs for longer than a few weeks. But doctors are recommending that they stay on them, even though they were not meant for long-term treatment. So according to Dr. Morgan Graham of Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, he says Americans are spending about $10 billion a year on PPI or proton pump inhibitors every year, and an estimated 70% of the prescriptions are not warranted, and 25% of the patients are put on this drug long-term when they could have discontinued use, end of quote. All right, so Dr. Adam Schofield of the University of California says, a large number of patients are taking PPIs for no clear reason, often for remote symptoms of heartburn that has since been resolved. In these patients, the PPI should be discontinued. End of quote. So now a year later, in April 2016, the University of Pittsburgh School of Health Sciences presented their findings that heartburn drugs increase your risk of protein interactions, get this, associated with schizophrenia. So their work was published in the Journal of Nature. So what's up with these, you know, heartburn drugs? Well, I kept digging. I did, you know how I am. And so I find another research paper on the heartburn drugs and putting your kidneys at risk. So in January 2016, another report appeared in the Journal of the American Medical Association stating that PPI drugs, proton pump inhibitors, can put your kidneys at risk. The research was conducted at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, and in which the control group they used was followed for 14 years. However, within a 10-year span of assessment, it showed that the kidneys were at risk by about 15.6%. Yet another study in February in 2017 by Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis found that patients taking PPI inhibitor drugs could experience what they described as a, quote, silent kidney damage condition. So they reported that more than 50% of the patients on the PPIs developed a sudden onset of chronic kidney damage and kidney failure. So their findings were published in the February 2017 Journal of Kidney International. And here's what a Dr. Zaid Ali of Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis says, he says, our findings indicate kidney problems can develop silently and gradually over time, eroding kidney function and leading to long-term kidney damage or renal failure. Patients should be cautioned about the use of PPIs and tell their doctor. Physicians must pay careful attention to kidney function of patients using PPIs. End of quote. Absolutely. So according to Dr. Ali, he says the symptoms of kidney failure can be reduced urine output, fatigue, and swelling of the legs and ankles. Well, I kept digging, and this is what I found out. Your heartburn drugs can also put you at risk of stroke. The studies keep pouring in on the devastating fallout of long-term use of heartburn medications, and in November 2016, the American Heart Association, in conjunction with the Danish Heart Foundation in Copenhagen, Denmark, stated that proton pump inhibitor heartburn drugs increase your risk of ischemic stroke, which is blood vessel obstruction to the brain. So this type of stroke is the most common, and clots are usually the cause of blocking artery flow. So their research suggested that stroke risk is higher when taking your proton pump inhibitors. And here's what they found. They said the stroke risk increased by 21% when you're taking a heartburn drug like a PPI. They said the lowest dose of a PPI, there remained a slight risk of stroke, but the highest dose of the PPIs, stroke risk increased from 30 to 94%. So their research cautioned PPI users. However, most of the proton pump inhibitors are now made available over the counter, so you don't need prescriptions any longer. Here's what Dr. Thomas Sedhest, MD, Danish Heart Foundation, Copenhagen, Denmark, says. At one time, PPIs were thought to be safe and without major side effects. This study further questions the cardiovascular safety of these drugs. End of quote. So the Houston Methodist Research Institute, they weighed in. They conducted some research in May 2016. They reported on the heartburn drugs. They said it accelerated vascular aging and increased the risk of the following diseases: heart disease and heart attack, kidney disease, and dementia. So according to their research, the proton pump inhibitors speed up the aging of the blood vessels, causing problems. Their work was published in the Journal of Circulation Research, and the researchers pointed out that although these drugs are now sold over the counter, that they were not approved by the FDA for long-term use, making approximately 70% of the products sold inappropriate for use. So here's a quote by John Cook, MD, at the Houston Methodist Research Institute. He says the PPIs increase the likelihood of heart attack in adults by 16 to 21%. All right, well, I kept digging. No, tell me, Miss Wendy, there can't be more. Oh, well, yes, there is. A little bit more. Apparently, your proton pump inhibitor heartburn meds can put mothers at risk of having children with birth defects. In November 2010, Boston University Medical Center released their study that PPIs can increase the risk of birth defects during early pregnancy. The results of their findings were published in the New England Journal of Medicine. The study reported that the birth defects seemed to be broad and did not list any increased risk of a specific birth defect. So the drug seems to have a very different effect on fetuses. So they pointed out that women taking the PPIs in the weeks leading up to pregnancy, but not during pregnancy, also seemed to have an increased risk of birth defects. So the University of Edinburgh, UK, their researchers, and also Finland, the researchers in Finland published findings in January 2017 that the proton pump inhibitors, when you take them during pregnancy, increase the risk of childhood asthma. So previous scientific reports warned that PPIs can increase the risk of allergies in unborn babies because the drugs seem to impact the baby's immune system. They concluded that pregnant women taking heartburn drugs will increase their child's risk by one-third. So the findings were published in the 2017 Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology. And according to Dr. Aza Zakai, director of asthma at the UK Center of Applied Research, University of Edinburgh, he says, "Our study reports an association between the onset of asthma in children and their mother's use of acid-suppressing medications during pregnancy." End of quote. Well, let's just fix this thing, right? Without all the risk, can we do that, please? Well, you know, the cause of digestive problems is often a diet that's rich in alkaline-type foods and mucus foods, such as white refined flour and milk products from animals. So this encourages an overproduction of acids. Now, old-time rural doctors and herbalists would suggest change the diet, add more acid foods to balance the pH, which reduces the amount of acids the digestive system produces. So foods such as pickled and fermented foods like pickled beets, fermented cabbage called kimchi, and sauerkraut, you know, can help balance that. Also, herbs that help with digestion are herbs like slippery elm because it soothes the digestive tract and it stops diarrhea problems. Marshmallow root soothes stomach lining. Fennel seed removes bloating and gas issues. Gentian root helps stomach prepare digestive enzymes and also helps move the food out of the stomach and prevents overeating. And apple cider vinegar helps improve digestion overall, and you can extract more protein from your food. Also helps rinse the joints of a lot of acids that can create inflammation in your joints. So by eating less refined foods and eating more raw foods, the body's able to fix this imbalance. So the Mediterranean diet includes a lot of omega-3 fatty acids, fresh fruit and vegetables, and it kind of limits the animal foods to help promote that balanced pH. So acid foods will help to deter the body from making too much acid, and the heartburn will actually resolve itself. So what you put into the body, it has a tremendous impact on function and your overall health. So start to be more selective on the food choices, and the digestive herbs can help you during your transition. So, you know, why risk your heart, your kidneys, digestion, your brain to the FDA-approved drugs when you have organic tools for a real cure? For real. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs if you want to order some digestive herbs. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. And, of course, their website is thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Right tools, information, power in your hands. Fix it. You got that power right now. Right now. Don't need an insurance card. Don't need any, you know, copay. It's God's good herbs. They're here for the service of man, and God can't lie. So, you know, trust that. We'll be right back.
Look over yonder. What do you see? The sun is rising, most definitely. A new day's coming. Ooh, ooh. People are changing.
Pumping life into the original medicine. herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at thepowerherbs.com. Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
So get yours. I wanna see. you. Then we can party on the positive side. Hope positive vibes. Come along for the ride.
Hey, we're back here on Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to talk about how to stop the aging process as much as humanly possible. You know, as we get older, we become more interested, you know, the way we look. We want to look younger. We also want to increase our life expectancy. So, however, looking into healthy living should have, you know, started way back when. You know, so you could have built on a good foundation to extend your lifespan a bit. But compiled life expectancy rates, you know, help us really get a picture of overall health of people of various countries. So longevity means lifelong or long life, and we do have some influences over how long we do live. I mean, obviously, the Supreme Creator has the ultimate say, but we have a lot to say about how healthy we live. So living healthy impacts how long you can live a quality type of life. And the sooner you start the healthy living lifestyle process, the fewer problems you'll tend to have down the road. So at the age of 60, we can't all look as young as, you know, we'd like. However, there are some things we can do naturally to kind of stave off a lot of the aging process as long as the DNA that you're programmed with allows. Well, let's look at some little history. World history is kind of full of these legends, these mysteries, folklore, searching and promoting ways to increase human lifespan. So organ transplants and cryogenetics is kind of the modern attempt at the fountain of youth. So how long are we supposed to live? Well, verifying someone's age over 100 takes, you know, digging into records of the past, which can be difficult. Now, the scientific guess is that our current maximum lifespan is about 120 years, with the average person living about 83 years. So if this is accurate, we are doing a whole lot wrong if we cheat ourselves out of about 37 years of life. However, if you believe, you know, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and the life expectancy of the American is increasing based on death rates, and they have decreased according to them. Well, the CDC is saying that age-related death has decreased significantly regarding 8 out of 15 leading causes of death. You know, things like cancer, heart disease, accidents, diabetes, flu, blood pressure, and assaults. I personally don't believe their stats. I think that it's allopathic treatments for diseases are, well, they're symptom management. They're not really curing you of a disease. So they're trying to make you as comfortable as possible while you live with your disease. And it's merely a little of a delay of the inevitable. So, and is it quality life if you're having to take pills every day for the rest of your life? Think about it. Well, let's look at some of the longevity stats. It can be interesting and even kind of surprising to discover how long the people of different cultures live. For instance, there is a significant gap between white people and black people in America from 1983 to 1993, but the gap got smaller from 1993 to 2000. So the correlating data was compiled, but in a nutshell, it came down to heart disease, injuries, infant mortality, and homicides. So according to a 2010 report in the New York Times, 39 million Americans, currently 65 and older, by 2020, they hypothesize this number will increase by 50% or 79 million. So you have to wonder about the quality of life of our aging population. About 35% over 85 no longer have their natural teeth, and men are 14 times more likely to commit suicide. World governments use these statistics to promote their propaganda and also use it in healthcare systems. And I don't mean to be a little bit pessimistic here, but the baby boomer generation is getting older. I'm one of them. I'm at the tail end of that. Plus, the average person looks to allopathic medicine for expensive healthcare answers. Therefore, I really don't see the lifespan increasing, but I do see it decreasing if we're going to rely on toxic chemicals. So if you are
you know, waiting for drug companies to come up with, you know, this pill made from antioxidants of green tea or red wine to increase your longevity. Well, you're going to be waiting a while. While you wait, have a cup of green tea and maybe a little red wine, okay? But keep in mind that if you'll take all the relevant factors that have influenced health, that, like, you know, over the generations, improved sanitation, refrigeration, so we have, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables year round, advances in medicine, it still really doesn't change the data that life tapers off around 100. Think about it. Think about it. So this means the average lifespan may have increased, but the maximum lifespan has not. So as long as we have government-run healthcare and any of these benefits, you know, that they require us to have in order to qualify, I don't think the lifespan's going to be increasing all that much. And just the other day, was it Tuesday, I think, Frank? Tuesday I was reporting on the cholesterol drug, and the New England Journal of Medicine published a list of diseases that causes mortality, and this was published in 1812. And out of about 60 diseases they listed, heart disease and cholesterol wasn't on the list. So what are we doing wrong in over a little over 100 years that we're creating more of these life-threatening diseases? Of course, you know, people say, well, we don't have, you know, the diseases, the pandemics we used to have, the childhood diseases. Well, actually, those diseases were in decline before vaccines were ever invented. So I think human immune systems, you know, that are geared to muscle up, if you use them, if you allow them to flex their muscles, that's where your resistance is passed on, and that's how humanity does better. All these vaccines and autoimmune suppressant stuff and antibiotics means you're going to have generations of people that have almost no immune system strength. Well, now, you can maximize your personal lifespan if you want to tweak it a little bit. It's your diet, if you want to include more nutrition, because a lot of health experts agree that if we eat more foods that contain anti-aging nutrition in them, we can be healthier overall and possibly live longer. So the general guideline includes more organic fiber, more antioxidants, more beta carotene-rich foods, foods that have the live enzymes in them. They're not cooked to death. They have the photonutrients, and this is raw foods we're talking about. So natural, non-synthetic foods that also contain real vitamin C, vitamin E, real minerals like zinc and selenium, real omega-3 fatty acids, real niacin, and manganese and magnesium, and of course calcium that your body can actually absorb and utilize. So processed foods really don't have any of that. None. It's all, oh, we'll fortify it with some synthetic stuff. It'll look good on the nutritional panel. But it's not the same. And the body knows it's not the same. So let's talk about some anti-aging herbs. It's kind of a miracle from God, really, when you use his herbs for life extension, nutrition, which, you know, is really essential, especially as we age. So plenty of research has actually been published on antioxidant protection from herbs like milk thistle and ginkgo biloba and grape seeds. They have the nitrilosides and things like that in them to protect us from cancer and things. So there's a few more powerful herbs that we can talk about that you can use on a pretty regular basis and, you know, kind of keep a step ahead of the average person. All right, so garlic's on the list. And not only will garlic normalize cholesterol levels, because cholesterol isn't bad for you, but, you know, you want to have normal levels. It will also help with blood pressure and protect you from what they call free radicals, oxidative stress. It also protects blood vessels from damage, and it helps deter blood clots. And we'll also get into hawthorn berries, which also help protect you from clots. So garlic's been researched a lot. And they also know that there's something in garlic that helps you, well, lower your risk of cancer. Also on the list was ginger. Ginger helps improve digestive balance, also helps with things like nausea and vomiting. But ginger improves blood flow to the digestive system, helps circulation reach small capillaries, and also in your extremities and your brain. So if you're not getting good blood flow to the extremities and brain, ginger should be on your list, especially if you're diabetic or maybe you're recovering from a stroke or don't want one. So ginger is awesome to have. I like to pair it with cayenne because cayenne is good for circulation out from the core, and ginger makes sure it gets to the small capillaries and then brings it back to the core. So those two together are excellent as circulatory herbs. Now, ginkgo is very interesting. A lot of people say, well, you know, ginkgo biloba doesn't really – it didn't help me with my memory. Well, it does if you pair it with the right herb to get it to the brain area. So you've heard about ginkgo improving memory, but few people understand how it accomplishes this. This herb will accumulate in your brain tissue, and several studies using ginkgo revealed that it helps improve brain function like alertness, mood, memory, concentration, and cognitive function, you know, solving problems. So the studies noticed that patients with a history of headaches or vertigo also had lessened or removed their symptoms altogether using ginkgo. Other studies showed ginkgo protects cell membranes from damage. So, but the secret to using ginkgo is to pair it with rosemary. And rosemary is a bit of a circulatory herb, just like your cayenne and your ginger. But what I like to do with ginkgo is pair it with rosemary and cayenne. And that way I make sure it gets, you know, cross that blood-brain barrier in that brain tissue to help us out. So that's the missing link if you've used ginkgo and didn't get the results you were hoping for. All right, ginseng's on the list. I like Siberian and American ginseng. History of ginseng is all cultures have used ginseng, whether it's Korean, Siberian, American, Chinese ginseng. Well, you know, the Asians like the American ginseng. Isn't that something? They prefer that. We're like the cream of the crop ginseng over here. And it just, they say, helps you stay young and active and alive and vigorous and vital. They say it's the longevity herb. Really, ginseng. So in China, the elderly are rarely without ginseng. They got to have their ginseng. So how does ginseng help us out? Well, science suspects ginseng boosts our estrogen and testosterone levels, which boost our energy levels and improves also digestion. Now, I like to take ginseng, and I like to add it to some immune-boosting herbs for synergistic effect. And one thing about the ginsengs is it helps your filtering organs that work with your immune system to remove debris. So when it's fighting infection, the ginsengs help the body remove the debris when the immune system has won the war, as it were. So ginseng is the bomb, as my kids would say. Okay, hawthorn berries, I promised to talk about that. We were talking about clots a minute ago with the garlic. Hawthorn berries are known for their protective benefit for your heart muscle tissue, and overall great therapeutic herb for your vascular system. So, you know, if you're taking hawthorn berries on a regular basis, what it does is it improves blood flow through the heart muscle, arteries, and veins, and it improves oxygen delivery to the heart, and it strengthens the heart. So the Heart Association wants to decrease heart disease rates in America. Well, I think they should actually start promoting hawthorn berries. And one of the other things that they've studied, hawthorn, they compared it to the blood thinning drugs, the Coumadin, Werfen, and so forth. And hawthorn berries performed just as good or better without all the side effects, because what it did is it protected the fibrinogen protein in your blood, which is responsible for making sure you have no unwanted clots. So if your fibrinogen protein gets off, and it usually does if you've got a really bad diet, what happens is the red blood cells start to clump together because the fibrinogen turns to fibrin. So you want to protect that balance, and hawthorn berries is one of those herbs that will help you with that. Now, what they do in I think it's Africa and European countries. What they usually do with hawthorn berries is they'll grind it up into their flour, and it's baked into their breads. So hawthorn is pretty much a staple in like Africa and in European countries. All right. Also on the list is milk thistle. Milk thistle helps. It has a regenerative effect on your liver. Now, if you know anything about the liver, it does a lot of things for the body. It helps to regulate, of course. It helps the pancreas regulate insulin. It helps regulate cholesterol levels, hormone levels. And it also produces enzymes to detoxify you if you come in contact with some poisons. So the liver is a very important organ. And so you want to use herbs that help it regenerate quickly. Now, if we were Adam and Eve and we were living in the Garden of Eden, our liver would be in primo condition, right? No toxicity at all in the Garden of Eden. It was just pristine. So Adam and Eve had a liver that regenerated every 30 days. Every 30 days they had a new liver, basically. So in our day and age, that isn't happening. And we've got too much toxicity going on. So the liver is a little sluggish, and it's not replacing cells like it should. And it can get behind in some of its little jobs that it does for you. So I like the antioxidant effect of the milk thistle. It has a silymarin antioxidant, and the liver will use that to replace sick and dying liver cells with healthy new ones. So milk thistle also helps improve digestion, especially of the elderly. So milk thistle is one of those great herbs, too, that they could use and get a double benefit. So if you're looking for any of these herbs, Apothecary Herbs, they do have them. And, of course, they specialize in liquids and powders, which are not requiring digestion. So they're absorbed right away, and they're in the system working in like 60 seconds. And, of course, you know, elderly people don't like to swallow pills, and you know, their swallowing mechanism can get off, so pills can be rough. So liquids, you can adjust the dose easy, put them in juice or water, and you don't even know it's there. So check out the garlic, the ginger, the ginkgo, which is in the blood, the brain concentrate formula. It already has the rosemary in it. They do have the American and Siberian ginseng, as well as the hawthorn berries and the milk thistle. So you can tap into those things and help the body regenerate, heal itself, and sidestep a lot of problems out there and, you know, and boost that longevity that God has given you, right? All right. All right, so we have a few minutes and just a few, and we're going to be talking about a little bit of arthritis, gout. I've gotten calls this week about that. A lot of people don't know what to do about it. Sometimes it'll start out with one joint on one of your hand, your thumb, or one of your fingers. You'll get a little joint that's kind of hard to grasp things, type, write. So, you know, you can get arthritic conditions starting, osteoarthritis and a lot of things, or gout. So let's talk about these rheumatology type of issues out there that Americans tend to have. A lot of allopathic medicine, they don't have any cures for this. They don't have anything except maybe pain relievers or physical therapy or surgery. But there's a lot of Americans, like over 8 million, that are suffering with these symptoms every day. And according to the research, a lot of it is because they got a lot of acids that are accumulating in the soft tissue and the joint areas. And this is what's causing a little inflammation and discomfort. So 43 million Americans tend to have very acidic conditions. That's 21% of the population, and it's all about diet. So New Zealand and the UK seem to have the same problem. And, of course, you know, our ancestors were English, right? And so we tend to eat like our ancestors a little bit there. So you know, if you get some gout conditions, arthritic conditions, we're going to take a look at them. Well, if you go to a dermatologist or a rheumatoidologist, you know, you're just going to be told, well, you have a lot of inflammation. And they'll say your symptoms are inflammation. They'll give it a name. Or you got gout, you got pain, you got swelling, you got redness, you got tenderness, you got hot, stiff joints, you know, and then they'll give you a prognosis, a diagnosis, and they'll give it a name. Now, no amount of pampering seems to get rid of a lot of this stuff. So when you're growing up and you had family members who maybe had similar conditions, mild, moderate, or severe, you need to look at that family tree, and you need to look to see if your life and your diet and your lifestyle is kind of similar to theirs. And there's a key. There's a key there. My grandmother had seasonal gout. I would say it that way. Seasonal gout because it would flare up at the holidays. And usually people that have a lot of these conditions, you know, the holidays is when they have an attack. And it's because they're eating foods they don't normally eat the rest of the year. And it's foods that are contributing to their condition. So usually mucus foods from animal dairy and also white refined flour is causing a lot of inflammation in the joints, plus a lot of acid. So people are drinking a lot of acidy things like coffee and tea and soda, alcoholic beverages. And this can increase the uric acid buildup in the joints and cause that problem. So typically people will call and say, you know, I've got this pain. It's the arch or the instep of my foot, my ankles or heels, toes, knees, wrists, fingers, elbows, all are on the map. A lot of times you can get a crystalline acid buildup accumulating in there. A lot of swelling occurs, and it can even look like the joints disfigured. A lot of swelling, and it just looks abnormal. So basically, you got to make sure your filtering organs are working so you can get rid of a lot of these acids and debris. So if you haven't done organ cleansing, that would be a place you'd want to think about and consider, and you want to cleanse in the proper order, and you can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, and they'll tell you how it's done. Also, you can use topically some really nice deep tissue organic rubs, which will improve circulation to the area, and blood brings healing. So there's another thing you can do, and of course, I would say look at the organic rubs from the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Also, you know, there's some calcium formulas to strengthen the joints. And of course, there's the vinegar, the organic vinegar to help rinse the joints of uric acid. So you have a lot of tools. And you also want to avoid triggers of anxiety where you tend to eat comfort foods that will exacerbate your problem. Also, watch the uric acid you find in a lot of red meats or turkey and chicken. So uric acids, when you cook meats, they change chemically and you get a lot of acids. So if you can kind of limit those foods, you'll do you'll have a lot of progress. So now research out of New Zealand in the Journal of Rheumatology said that people with emissions for gout, they studied them over a 10-year period. They concluded it had worsened than the decade before. So they say, you know, they seem to see a link with cardiovascular disease and obesity with people with gout. So, which, you know, kind of goes hand in hand with lifestyle. So watch the food triggers, which would be corn, wheat, milk, cheese, alcohol, and the omega-6 vegetable oils like corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, very bad for your joints. And so you want to use maybe coconut oil or olive oil. The omega-3 fatty acids is better than the omega-6s. So you have tools. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. The power's in your hands at thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.